Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Give us a call. The number is 208-991-4783. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thank you so much for your support. And I especially want to thank Daniel and also Alan for sending along their support. And as we do with all donations of $7 or more, we'll be sending access to our premium site. Now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This one's called The Alfred Chambers Matter. And I have to warn you, the sound quality is not good. In fact, that is far understating the case. I'm sure Andrew Rhines will do the best he can with it. But with that warning offered, here now is The Alfred Chambers Matter.
For your listening enjoyment, John Lund as...
Johnny, hello.
Philip Martin, Johnny.
Hello, Mr. Martin.
Got a job for you.
Oh, fine.
The wing insurer, Mr. Alfred Chambers of Pittsburgh. He was shot to death yesterday.
Was he?
That's the way it looks. He rented a cabin in Michigan, Lake Chenault Island.
Where's that?
Oh, 30 miles from Sault Ste. Marie.
Right up near Canada.
Yeah, that's right. His wife found him lying in the front room of the cabin, shot through the chest. The officer handling the case is Captain George Lane, Sault Ste. Marie Police. He'll be expecting you.
I'll leave in the morning. John Lund, in another adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator,
here's truly, Johnny Dollar.
Account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, Columbia All Risk Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Alfred Chambers matter. Expense account item one, $45.95, train fare and incidentals between Hartford, Connecticut and Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Expense account item two, $0.75, cab fare to the local police station, where I introduced myself to Captain George Lane.
Sit down, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Martin from your company called, told me to expect you.
How can I help? Well, to begin with, you can fill me in on the details.
Sure. You ever been to the Snow?
The Snow?
Lake Chenault Island.
Oh, no, no.
Well, there are a whole group of islands on the fringe of Lake Huron. Lake Chenault is the channel. It's somewhat of a resort now, but very exclusive. People who go to the Snows have been coming up for years. They own homes on various islands, and we're all together a very respectable community. Alfred Chambers rented the Forrester cabin. It's one of the islands furthermost from the mainland, about 2 miles, I'd say. He spent 3 days in the Snows, and then his wife arrived from Pittsburgh. Mr. Schoenberg, fellow has a boat rental service, took her out to the island, and she found her husband laying in the living room dead, shot through the chest. Any suspects?
Not a one.
Mrs. Chambers told me she'd separated from her husband about a week before he'd come to the Snows, but she couldn't have killed him. Schoenberg was with her all the time. And according to the coroner, Chambers had been dead for about 14 hours. Until the investigation's cleared up, I've been making my headquarters at the hotel at the Snows. I just came in to get the coroner's report. I was going back this afternoon if you'd care to come along.
Yeah, I'd like to. Any other homes on the island?
Yeah, several. One about a half mile south, one on the other side of the island. This is where Mrs. Chambers found her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Lying in his face. The front door was open. He wasn't shot inside the cabin.
He wasn't?
But he didn't notice when we came in there was some blood leading up the front steps. See? You can see the trails in here.
I got in from outside.
Yeah.
No electricity in the house.
No, Coleman lamps. The other two homes on the island have electricity and phones. But this place is nearly 60 years old. The owners never bothered to equip it with any modern conveniences.
How did Chambers get to and from the mainland?
Boat. Land a boat from Schoenberg.
When the coroner examined him, he noticed that his shoes were still damp.
Later examination showed he'd been in the water, fully cold.
That's funny.
I think he was shot probably while he was on an embark. Fell in the water and waded ashore.
You say he'd been dead about 14 hours, eh?
Maybe about 5 in the evening when he was shot.
Hmm. What time does it get dark?
Oh, up here this time of year, it doesn't get dark till about 9 o'clock. Twilight.
No. Shot him with chest.
Mm-hmm.
You recovered the slug?
Yeah, 22, long rifle.
Well, he was shot when it was white, and you think he was out there in the dark.
For sure he was out there. There was a thick mud on his shoes and on the pants. Now, that mud is on the bottom out there by the dock. In close here, it's more sand. And it'll get completely wet like that.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't seem likely that anyone could have shot him from the lake.
No, he'd have to be out in the boat. That'd be taking a pretty big chance.
And somebody on the island. Somewhere in the woods
there, huh? Probably. Someone could have landed on the island any place and walked here.
Anyone hear a shot?
Yeah, I talked with a lot of people. Some of them remember hearing a shot out that time. There's no telling where it came from. Shot on this lake, you can hear from miles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to have a talk with Mrs. Chambers.
Sure. Schoenberg can take us back to the mainland. We'll drive my car over to the hotel.
Come on,
Mr. Dunn. I hope I'm not disturbing you, Mrs.
Chambers. No, not at all. Won't you sit down?
Oh, thanks. Oh, it's a beautiful view.
Yes, isn't it? Is this your first time up here?
Yes, it is.
Mine, too. We're in the town, investigators.
Yes. My company covers both you and your husband.
Well, Mr. Donald, just how can I help you?
Answer some questions. I know it's tough at this time.
Well, I'd be glad to tell you anything I can.
Captain Lane said that you and Mr. Chambers get separated.
That's correct.
May I ask why?
This is absolutely necessary.
Your husband's been killed, Mrs. Chambers. Your separation might mean nothing, and then again...
No, it was not at all.
Do you mind telling me about it?
This is the most prevalent subject that I suppose you have to know. About a month ago, Al and I were both with a serious woman, and it was serious. We argued, very nasty arguments, and did it separately, but because of the publicity, we held off.
Your husband was in the steel business, wasn't he?
Yes. And we have two children. Things like this happen any time like this. I don't understand. I saw the girl, woman, very attractive, quite nice. I thought I would turn out to even a master in college.
What's her name?
Oh, I don't think it's a true fact. From young, my husband is certainly a very attractive man. I don't think either of their hearts, really. Anyway, what happened?
She's already involved. It looks like murder. Anyone connected with your husband is involved. What's her name?
Lily Elkins. I never met her, but my husband told me. Oh, that's a girl. From a foreign family. A week ago, I wouldn't have cared whether or not she was involved in the scandal, but now... Oh, certainly I have suffered an accident. But it was terrible to look at my children. I thought a lot about the girl after I found her. I hope that perhaps she won't be spared.
She lives in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Your husband left Pittsburgh when?
4 years ago today. He decided to take his vacation alone. Something was over.
Why did you come up here?
I thought things over too, Mr. Dollar. I decided to be Al's present. I talked to our lawyer. He suggested I have one more talk with Al. I left my phone.
Did you tell your husband you were coming up?
No. He was in the country. There'd have fun on the island. The letter would have gotten here after I did it.
So you just packed and came up then?
Yes. I unpacked one bag. I wasn't clever myself.
When did you leave this thing?
The morning of the retreat.
You arrived the next morning?
Oh, I arrived at the pier that night. I came to the stairs the next morning.
You've never been here before?
No.
How did you know how to find the cabin where your husband was staying?
Well, I simply asked the man who owned the boat. I asked him to pull down to the service this time.
I see. Can you think of anyone who might want to kill your husband?
A week ago, I thought about it.
Anyone else?
No. My husband is still alive to the door. He was very respected by me.
No business troubles?
Oh, no.
How long has it been since your husband was up here?
Oh, well, that's true. All I'd like to talk about it. I should tell the children to say, oh, I think it's about 10 years ago. Yes, I think it was about that long before they married.
Well, Mrs. Chambers?
Oh, Mr. Gray?
I have to get back to Captain Lane. I've got his car.
Captain asked me to stay until we finish his investigation.
Yes, sir.
I don't know anyone here. He's hoping I'm not that bad. He's a very good friend. He hasn't done that.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Chambers, but I...
Excuse me. Yes? Yes. Well, I come right up.
Well, I'll be going, Mrs. Chambers.
I think you should stay up the water.
Hmm?
That phone call is from the other. It's a left brain broken.
John Lund, we bring you the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Jane Elkins, the woman who had caused the separation between Mrs. Chambers and her husband, had called from the hotel lobby. Jane Elkins, the Pittsburgh college student, had suddenly turned up at Les Chenaux.
Mrs. Chambers?
Yes. Come in. We've never met, but my husband told me about you.
This is Mr. Dollar. How do you do?
Hello, Miss Arthur.
I'm sorry. I've been running a company. They called me wrong. When you called, I asked Mr. Dollar to stay. Maybe this is only my husband's bed. Oh? Sit down, Miss Arthur. Thank you. Miss Arthur. Call was certainly surprising. When I heard you were in town, I thought about calling you soon, but... No, I understand.
You were in town when Mrs. Chambers arrived, Miss Elton?
Oh, yes. I came up with some friends over the home in that line. Mrs. Chambers, I don't know what Mrs. Chambers was coming up with. You didn't? Mrs. Chambers, I wasn't in love with her husband. I never had been. I must have had to call her, and I thought for once in a while.
You didn't know Mr. Chambers was coming here?
I had no idea until he arrived.
How long have you been here before Mr. Chambers arrived?
No, I haven't.
You told him you were coming up?
Yes, I told him I wasn't sure, but I said I wanted to come up and see you here.
Where were you when Mr. Chambers was killed?
I don't know. I was just one of the kids. I heard about it, and it's Wednesday, Monday afternoon.
When was the last time you saw him?
I saw him Tuesday afternoon. It was the last time. He came into Centerville and went out to the drugstore. We talked and he went back to Maryland.
Had you seen him much before this, while you were up here?
Yes, it's very close. Shortly after I arrived, and then time after that at the post office. He just told me when he arrived, and I told him I'd rather not see him while I was up here. The people I stay with now look at me. They're from Pittsburgh also. Do I know them? The other ones? Oh, yes. They said before I went to the husband, I'd have a to my friend, so.
Is he here in the
film? Yes, we're all together.
Does he know about you and Mr. Chambers?
Yes.
Did he know that Mr. Chambers was here in town?
Yes, I told him.
How did he take it?
Not so well, I'm afraid. Miss Elkins. My son and my husband are married. And you can't tell any of his business. Yes. Nobody will believe it, but it's true. When my husband arrived, I told him... I thought it would be best if we forgot the whole thing. I wasn't in love with him, Mrs. Chambers. Not yet.
Miss Elkins, after Mrs. Chambers left you that last time in the afternoon, what did you do?
Well, I went back to the house.
Where was Charles? Was he at the house?
No, I don't think so. No, he's out. Mr. Brown, I'm a detective.
That's a simple question. Where is Charles?
He was out in the boat.
Alone? Was he alone?
I don't know.
Well, it's easy to find out.
Mr. Brown, it was Mr. Trevor. I really must go.
Oh, that's too bad.
What was the big answer? I don't know. I just found it. Charles told us he didn't catch my party this afternoon. I mean, anything could have told me, but there was no way I could get out of it.
I talked with Mrs. Chambers for a few minutes more, then made my excuses and drove to the Cedarville Hotel and registered there. I reported my findings to Captain Lane, who couldn't check on Jane Elkins and her boyfriend. Then I stretched out on the bed and tried to figure my next move. And it didn't take long to figure. I decided to crash the Weather Rescue's cocktail party. Expense account item 3, $1.50, boat rental and Schoenberg services as pilot. We made it in 15 minutes. Schoenberg pulled into a long dock where a veritable armada of small craft were tied up. The party was well underway. The guests were milling around on a long strip of white beach about 50 yards below a huge Georgian house. No one asked to see my invitation, so I grabbed a drink from a passing tray and looked around for Jane Elkins. I spotted her a few yards away, talking to a stout mustache party with a rich bourbon complexion. I stepped briskly up to her side. Jane Elkins, I presume? Jane, I wonder if I can have a word with you. Oh, man, you won't mind if I steal the guest of honor from you, will you?
Mind? I certainly do mind. I wouldn't think it. Say, don't I know you? Aren't you Robinson from East of Pine?
No, I'm Dollar. Insurance.
Insurance? Oh, well, excuse me. I'll see you later, Jane.
That always empties the hall in a hurry.
What are you doing here?
I've got a lot of questions that need answers.
I don't want to make a scene, but if you don't leave the thing, I'll have a show now.
You might as well talk to me as to the police. I'm a lot more sympathetic.
The police?
Yeah, the police. Now just give me some answers and I'll be on my way.
What do you want to know?
Well, that's better. What time did your fiancé come back here yesterday?
I'm not sure. I think it was around 6:30.
Mm-hmm. By the way, could you point him out to me?
He's standing over there by the bar. The man in the garage.
Well, he's a big one, isn't he? Now, Miss Elkins, what time did you return here yesterday?
About 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. You stayed here the rest of the afternoon?
Yes.
Where were you?
Huh?
Were you in the house?
Gee, I can't think of
it. Take it easy. Charles is heading this way.
Please go.
Oh, not yet. Charles is the man I'd like most to meet. You two seem to be having a fascinating conversation. Mind if I butt in?
Oh, butt away, Mr. Weatherwax. My name is Dollar.
How do you do, Mr. Dollar?
Fine, thank you. If you're through with my hand now, I'd like it back.
How's that, Mr. Dollar?
I might want to use it again sometime.
Oh, sorry. Sure, you can have it back.
Thanks. I want to give you a tip. Next time you try that bone-crushing bit, watch out for a left hook.
Yeah, just who is this little friend of yours?
He's not a friend.
Oh, no, not a friend. Something much more than that. Much closer. Much warmer. Get out of here, Dollar. I'm so happy I'll break you in two. I'll scatter you all over the
place. All right, Mr. Weatherwax. I'll go. You said what I wanted to know. You're a jealous man and a violent man. The perfect type.
What are you talking about?
Harold, he's a detective. He's investigating Alfred's death.
Oh, why don't you say so, darling?
I'm not answering today. I'm asking. For instance, where were you yesterday afternoon? And do you own a .22 rifle? Chambers was killed with a .22. The slug can be traced to the rifle it was fired from. They call it ballistics. Isn't science wonderful? Goodbye, Charles.
Schoenberg and I took off from LaSalle Island, but instead of heading to Centerville, we turned into an inlet about a half mile down the lake where we could still see the Weatherwax dock. We waited there for 10 minutes. Then Charles Weatherwax appeared on the landing. He climbed into a small cruiser and headed south. He chased to a spot about 300 yards off the shore of Baxter's Island,
Hove to, stepped down a building trunk, put on a pair of underwater goggles, and dived in. He came up seconds later and then submerged once more. I told Schoenberg to pull up to him at top speed. When Carroll surfaced again, he saw us bearing down on him and climbed hastily back into the boat. But before he could weigh anchor, we were alongside.
Don't leave this yet, Charles. This is a gun in my hand.
Yeah, I see it.
You're fishing without a spear, huh? What kind of fish are you after, Charles?
All right. Start it up and head to the landing. And don't get reckless, Charles. I'm a fair shot.
Charles, all ashore this morning, sir.
Oh, he's the best, sir.
All right. Let's go toward the house. We can talk better there. Come on, move, Charles. Move. This is far enough. All right, talk, Charles. What were you looking for out there in the sky blue water?
I don't have to tell you anything.
You'd rather talk to Captain Lane, it's all right with me. But why not tell me?
It'll look a little better on the record.
I didn't kill Chambers, but I was with him when he was killed.
Go on.
I came over to tell him to stay away from Jane.
But Jane said that she'd broken with him that same afternoon.
Well, I didn't know that then. We were standing out on the dock. He and I were talking. There was a shot, and he fell in the water.
And you just left him there?
But he was dead.
Oh, I'm afraid not. He made it to the cabin.
Oh, I thought he was dead. I got panicky. I realized how bad it looked. Ran to my boat and took off. Then I remembered I had a .22 rifle in the cabin. I threw it overboard. Then today you made a crack about ballistics. It came to me what I'd done. I'd thrown away the one piece of evidence that would clear me. So I came back to find it.
Well, it's a good story, but I don't buy it.
I think you're...
The big man was very sad. He died from suddenly in a flying attack, and I went over backwards. I managed to kick loose from his grip, but the gun had been jolted out of my hand. He picked it up and pointed it at my head. I jumped at him. He went over backwards. I went over with him, grabbed the gun from his hand, and then stood up. Much the worse for wear.
You're pretty fast, Dollar.
Tell me something. Why didn't you fire?
You had plenty of time.
Why not? Maybe you're just not the shooting type. Maybe that tall story you told is true.
It is true.
Well, maybe I believe you. The only trouble is, if you didn't kill him, there's a good chance that Jane did.
Are you crazy?
Oh, I don't think so. Besides you, she's the only person I know of who had both motive and opportunity and no alibi.
Oh, you're raving mad. What motive would she have to kill him?
She says she told Chambers Tuesday that it was all over between them.
She did.
She says she did. But suppose it was the other way around. Suppose he blurted her. Ever hear the line about a woman scorned?
All right. All right, I killed him. I didn't know that Jane had broken up with him. He got nasty and I shot him.
I see. Where were you when you shot him?
I was... Well, what difference does that make? I tell you, I killed him. Take me into the mainland, I'll make a full confession.
Okay. If you say so.
I see.
Hey! That was a rifle shot. Came from over there beyond those trees.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go, Halfback. You first. We ran to the grove of fir trees and came to a little cove, not more than 200 yards off. A rowboat was pulled up on the beach, and beside it was a small boy with a .22 rifle.
Help!
Hi. What's your name?
Jimmy Bridget. What's yours?
You live over on Fire Island, don't you?
What?
What were you shooting at just now?
Well... Oh, they're all right, Dixie. My father says they're pests.
You come here often, Dixie?
Once in a while.
Were you here Tuesday afternoon around 5 o'clock?
Yeah, sure. I got two spears.
I'm afraid that wasn't all you got for me. Well, that's the way things work out sometimes. You think you've got a cold-blooded murder on your hands, and it turns out to be a young kid who shouldn't have been given a gun on his birthday. The .22 was checked by the ballistics department and proved to be the one that inspired the fatal shot. At the inquest, the jury returned a verdict of accidental manslaughter. However, it's doubtful if young Jimmy Bishop will
ever want another gun as long as he lives. Expense account item 4, $22 for hotel bill and transportation back to the school airport. Expense account item 5, $43.85, plane fare and incidentals back to Hartford. Expense account total, $114.05. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
The moral of the story, when you're looking for an ending, borrow from a famous Dragnet episode. Of course, the boy using a .22 rifle and accidentally killing someone, it was the key plot of Dragnet Radio Christmas episode that at this point had run every year since 1949 over the radio and in 1952 over television. They even made it a .22 rifle. I doubt the writers were consciously thinking of borrowing from Dragnet, but that's kind of how it ended up. It's amazing the things that work their way into a writer's brain to be called up when it comes to writing a script. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. Monday, we're going to be back with an episode of Barry Craig. Join us on Sunday. We'll have another classic TV episode of Sherlock Holmes. And then back here on Friday for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and give us a call, 208-991-4783. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.